We are Bava Kamma Kuf Yud Beis, beginning of the last parak of Bava Kamma. We have one more week next Monday, Bezrat Hashem. Next Sunday is the Siyum on Bava Kamma. We have one more week, and then we get into the second of the Bavas. But first, Baruch Hashem, we have one more week back to a regular schedule of Bava Kamma. So we start Agozu Amachil. We started yesterday, but today's the first shir that we have on it up online and together here in person. So Kuf Yud Beis. Let's start with Kuf Yud Aleph. I'm an Aleph on the bottom, three lines from the bottom. So remember the Mishnah yesterday. What we're talking about here is when a Gazlan seals something and it's no longer in his Rishus. So the Mishnah spoke about a case where it goes to his children. So we alluded to this last week in one of the Gemaras. But the Gemara says that if it goes to his children, if it's there, then the Braisa said then it has to be given back. But if it's not there anymore, the children have no achrayas to pay back damim because they didn't steal it. And if there's no land that was left by the father, there's no achrayas nechasim, the Gemara says, explain the Mishnah. So then they would be pater. So Amar Mar, so now we're quoting. And there was a discussion how to understand the Mishnah. There was Rav Chisda, there was Rabbi Bar Chama. Rav Chisda was said at the beginning of the Gemara that our... there's a difference between before Yeish and after Yeish. Before Yeish, things might have to be returned even if it goes to the children. And Rabbi Bar Chama was the one that brought in the principle of Rishus Yoresh ke Rishus Lokeach Dami. That when it goes to the children, it's like it went to the Rishus of a buyer, and therefore that would constitute what's called a Shini Rishus, and therefore if it's Yeush and Shini Rishus, so as we learned in Masechas Meruba, that would be Kona, even if Yeush by itself is not Kona. If Yeush, if the Nigzal gives up hope, that itself does not work as a Kinyan, but Yeush and Shini Rishus, if it goes to a different Rishus, would, so going to the Yorish, Rami Bar Chama said, sounds like from our Mishnah, is considered a Rishus Lokeach. So we're going to relate to that right now. So Amar Mar, three lines on the bottom. Zela Kayemet. So we explained a brisa that we interpreted a brisa to mean that if the gzela is still existent, then the children have to give it back. Why should that be according to Rami Bar Chama? Because we're assuming that we're talking about after Yeush, and once the Yoresh gets it, Rami Bar Chama says that's Rishus Yoresh ki Rishus Lokeach. So why don't you say there was Yeish and Shina Rishus here? And everybody agreed that that's a Kenyan. So, Amar Lacha Rami Bar Chama, Kitanya Hilifne Yeush. No, the Brisa is talking about before Yeush. And therefore, it's only Shina Rishus. A Shina Rishus before Yeush is nothing, right? Because the owner didn't give up hope. That's the main din of Rav Chisda, of Gazal Onus Yashua Bailam. If the first din the Gemara quoted yesterday, if there was a Gzela and the Bailam did not give up hope, then the Nigzal could collect from anybody, from either one, because there was no Yeush yet. So here too, we interpret the Brisa as Lifnei Yeush. Oh, does Yeush and Shini Rishus, the Gazlan himself has to compensate. But the Yerushim and the Lokeach doesn't. The Yerushim and Lokeach is theirs. They don't have to do anything. We learned them in Misachas Kedushin. The Gemara is about how somebody steals something from a woman and throws it, steals it from somebody and throws it to a woman, so that the second person can do Kedushin with it. There is a lot of lumdus, though, that we spoke about one or two times in Meruba, and that is when you have Yeush and Shini Rishus, how exactly does it work? We say there's a team Kinyan here. Usually there's no team Kinyan. There is one thing works. Yeush, Shinui, other types of Kinyanim. But here all of a sudden we have Yeush and Shini Rishus. How exactly does that work? So there are at least two major ways to explain how it works with other minor ways. Two major ways how the Achronim discuss is maybe Yeush and Shini Rishus Yeush is the key. Yeush is the Iker. The second that I give up hope, it's Niknet to you. Because I now have removed my bialas, so it's a big question what Yeush is, but let's assume for now it's some type of removal, some type of siluk of the owner. And once I remove my bialas, so then that's the kinyan. The problem is that there is an issue of the isura asiliade. You got it beisur, so therefore even if I have Yeush, you can't have it. You stole it. You got it in illegal means. So that solve, that side problem of Isur Asliyade is solved by Shini Rishus, and once that's taken care of, the Yeush can be Poel, the Yeush can work. But that approach is saying that Yeush is the Iker. When you have Yeush and Shini Rishus are Kona, that does not mean both are Kona, it means Yeush is Kona. And Shini Rishus solves the problem of Isur Asliyade, similar to the fact that Yeush is Kona by a Metziah. Right, we know that if there's Yeush and I find a lost object, I keep it. Yesh works by itself. I want to say Yesh works by itself by Gzela. The answer is because by Gzela you have a problem called Yisura Asaliyade. Yesh Shidi Rosh just takes care of that, so Yesh itself works just like Yesh works by Aveda. If you remember back in Meruba, we had a parallel between Yesh of Gzela and Yesh of Aveda. That is one approach. The other approach is that it's somewhat more of a team effort. Yesh and Shidi Rosh both help get the item away from the original owner. Yesh does a paralipo, you know, Yesh Kedis Lokani. And maybe because of Yisur Asiliyadi, that affects that Yesh should not be good enough, and therefore you need both. You need it to be more distant from the original owner, and that's why Shidi Rosh is also part of the Kinyan. As the Gemara says, Yesh Rashidi Rosh is Kone, together. Lamai Nafkamina, so one of the major Nafkaminas is the order. Does the order make a difference? Do you have to have the Yesh before the Shini Rishus or not? We're going to have a Gemara in a few days on Kuf Tef Svav. There seems to be a Machlokas Tanoim, or Machlokas Amaroim, whether the order makes a difference. But in the Rishonim, it's a Machlokas. The Rambam, in two places, in Gzela hold, does not make a difference. It doesn't matter the order. You can have Shini Rishus before the Yesh. Yesh before the Shini Rishus doesn't make a difference. That's the Shidus of the Rambam. But the Rosh and the Rashba and other Rishonim say, no, of course, the Yesh has to be first. For sure, the Yesh has to be first. The way that this is explained by the Achronim is that, no, according to the Rambam, maybe it's a team effort. If it's a team effort, it doesn't matter what happens first. It's a team. As long as both happen, they both distance the item from the original owner. So then it's niknet to the Goslin, or to the one who got it from the Goslin. Mashenkein, if you need Yesh first, so then it could make a... It might be that if the Yesh is the Iker player and the Shini Rosh Hashanah has a specific purpose, so then it might be that the order has to be in a certain way in order to achieve that result. And there are other Nafkaminas as well. What about Balkarcha of the Goslin? Could it work Balkarcha of the Goslin, the Shini Rosh Hashanah? So again, if the Shini Rosh Hashanah is part of the Kinyan, then you never have Kinyan and Balkarcha. But if Shini Rosh Hashanah just removes a problem and Yesh is the real Kinyan, then it could even work Balkarcha of the Goslin. One final nafkamina, and then we'll move on. The Ksos asks, does Yesh v'Shini Rosh Hashanah work to a katan? Does it work to a katan? This relates to what we discussed on Friday, Thursday night. I don't remember when the last year was. That we remember that Bali tells us hell that you cannot be makne to a katan on a Daraisa level unless Das Acheres Makne. A katan cannot be kone if he finds something, if he just gets something. But it's Das Acheres Makne. If somebody else pushes it into his Rosh Hashanah, makne, so then it works Daraisa. So the Ksos asked, could you do a Shini Rishus to a Katan and have Yesh and Shini Rishus work? So again, if this Shini Rishus is part of the Kinyan, so that it can be called the Hakna of the Goslin, and then it should work. Yesh and Shini Rishus, says the Ksos in Simin Shin Samach Beis. But if you say that Shini Rishus just removes a problem, but it's all Yeush, Yesh might not be a real Kinyan, it's more of a siluk of the original owner, and therefore it would not work to a Katan. Okay, that is, a little bit. It's a huge sugya. Looks back to the shiurim in Meruba. But that is Yesh Hashidi Rishus, which comes up here with Rami Bar Chama. Okay, so now, on Amud Beis, on yesterday's daf, Rami Bar Chama learned his din of Rishus Yerzki Rishus Lokeach from our Mishnah. So now the Gemara suggests maybe he learns it from a Braisa. Rav Ada Bar Ava Masi Lohad Rami Bar Chama Ha. He learned Rami Bar Chama's din on the following, second line on top. Kufi Beis Amanal. Getting our appetites wet for Bamitzia, fifth parak. Hiniach le'navien mol shel ribis. Let's say their father collected interest, collected ribis, and he left it for them. And the children know. Aval pisha yodin shein shel ribis. Even if the children know that this is ribis money, ain chayavin lahachzer. They do not have to return the interest money. The question is, why not? They have ribis money that their father collected, so why don't they have to return it? So Amar Rami Bar Chama, Zosam Baris, it must be Rishus Yaris, Rishus Lokeach Tami. It must be that Yeish took place, and now there's a Shini Rishus that goes to the children, and to the children is considered a different Rishus, Rishus Yaris, Rishus Lokeach, and therefore it is Mutter, and that's why the children don't have to return it. So that's where Rami Bar Chama Loses did from. Rava Amar, Lola Mehem Lokeach, Rishus Yaris, Lav, Rishus Lokeach Tami. No, maybe there's another way to interpret this Mishnah. Rishus Yaris is not Rishus Lokeach. Why do the children do not have to return it? V'shayni hacha the amar krok, as the pasuk says, the pashas bahar al tigach meito neshach v'sarbis. Don't take ribis. Two words that the Torah uses for ribis. Neshach is biting, because ribis bites. The Gemara compares it to a snake bite, which is like a snake bite starts off very little, but it spreads and spreads and spreads. So too, a ribbis, interest, just $3 a day, right? But after a while, it comes bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's like a big bite. That's why it's called Neshach Vatarbis, two Lashonos of ribbis. So it says, Al Tikam Ito Neshach Vatarbis, and the Rashba says that the Iker is the second half of the Pasuk that's not quoted. V'chai Achicha Imach. And your brother shall live with you. Don't take interest and let your brother live with you. So with you is the ikker. Ahadur lay ki hechi tenachi bahadach. Go after him so that he lives with you. Treat the borrower as living with you. L'didei kamazir le'rachmana, only to he himself. The ribbis taker, does the Torah warn? L'brei lo mazir le'rachmana. But to a son, it does not warn. The Torah does not warn, and that's why it's dafka din in personally returning the ribbis, but the children do not have to return the ribbis. Ribbis, as we'll see in Ezeo Neshach, in the fifth rank of Amitzi, it's a very unique and chamur din. It's a very chamur din. Who violates? The borrower, the lender, the edim, the sofer, everybody involved violates the Isser of ribbis. But there is a big discussion of the parallel and the connection between ribbis and gzela. Right? How much are they connected? Just like ribbis, how about there's another discussion which we'll have later is Oshik Schar Sachir, not paying your worker. Is that a form of gezel, or is that some type of separate din? So the Tosfos already here alludes to that sugya of gezel versus ribbis. Because Tosfos is on top. V'yim Tomar, v'hechi b'daktik mini d'rekurushus lokeach tami. What's the havamina to say that the children do not have to return the money because they're like a buyer? Dafilu lav kurushus lokeach tami. Asi shaper to patron. Of course they're pater. Why? Because they never took it. Illegally. What's gzela? If I steal something, and my kids have it, it was gone illegally, so it has to be returned if it's still there. But here, what's ribbis? Ribbis is very unique in that ribbis is given willingly. Ribbis is given willingly. I gave it to you. So why should it? So the whole idea of ribbis is unusual, that there's an aveira involved. The person gave it to me willingly. He wants the money. Right? After all, money makes money, so what's wrong with this? Right, so says Tosfos, if since it was given willingly, of course the children don't have to return it. It's just an halva for them. So answers the Gemara, no. V'yesh lomar, v'af agav d'midas nasnam lo. Even though it was given midas, isnu gabei v'toras gzela. Tosfos here calls ribbis a form of gzela. It's still by him by gzela. To heavy kinesina b'toas. It's as if it was given b'toas by mistake. It's called, Tosa says it twice, it's called Gzela. Right? That's Tosa. What's the happening of the church after a return? It was giving willingly to the father. The answer is so what? Ribbis giving willingly is like a Nesina Bita'us. Okay, we have to remember this Tosus, and therefore the children should have to return it in the Havamina. The Gemara already at the beginning above of that parak in Ezeo Neshach already alludes to this issue of the connection between ribbis and gzela. The Gemara Daf Samach Aleph in Maseches Bamatzia. The Gemara there has a question: what do you need three separate psukim for onaa, ribbis, and gzela? Aren't they all the same thing? It's an amazing havamina. Amar Rava Lamli the Kazav Rechmana Lava Ribbis Lava Gzela Lava Onaa. So Tzricha. The Gemara finds that Tzricha itself, why do you need all three? So the question is, what's the Maskara? Once you have a Tzricha for all three, does that mean that they're all very different? Oh, no, right? Ripping somebody off, overcharging them, ribbis, taking interest in Gzela, actually stealing, or not? So that's the Shakla Vitaria over there on Daf Samach Aleph and Mesechus Bamitzia, and that's the Lundus right there, right? What the connection is between ribbis and Gzela. The Ritva is very important on Bamitzi in general, but the Ritva there has a formulation where somewhat against this Tosas. Our Tosas here says that it's a form of Gzela. The Ritva there says ribbis is different than the other chiyuvim, gzela, ona, etc. V'tama dvarim omer mari detfias ribbis lo havye kishar tvios begezel va'ona'a. What do you why? The isli al chavri shibun mamon by ona'a, by gezel, the one who you took from has a shibun against you because you owe him. You owe him. You took his money. You ripped him off. You owe him. By ribbis, do you owe him? You owe him. He paid you interest. So you owe him that money back? Says the Ritva, no, you don't owe him money. You don't owe him money back. But, l'shamayim hu chayiv. You chayiv to Hashem. V'kivet shekein lo tolo mechilas chaveir. That's why you can't be mochel ribbis. I'll keep it. No. Because Hashem is the person telling you to pay back. It's more of your giving it than his receiving it. It's not a shibud. Because this is natural. Money makes money. And that's why, just one final thought regarding ribbis. This is what the chinuch Sefer Chinuch writes, Rebbe Rosenzweig also expanded upon this also, but in Mitzvah Tav Kuf Ayin Gimel, Sefer Chinuch writes that is a mitzvah, one of the mitzvahs that say daraisa, one of the 248, to lend a goy money with interest. Right, la nachri tashach. Pasuk says the Pasuk Kiseitzei. Shidis tavinu levakish ribis min haumos kishenil velahem. Velo nil velahem below ribis. Amazing, amazing mitzvah. Some of the Rishonim may ask on the Chinuch, who follows the Rambam here. It's really the Rambam. Right, so what is the mitzvah say? Other Rishonim say, no, it means an Isser Asay. This means, doesn't mean a mitzvah Asay, not a real mitzvah Asay. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, I know this is unusual, and the Ramban argues, for Ramban Zal will yimna b'cheshon a mitzvah Asay Zu, but I go like the Rambam. Why? V'yem kol ze derech ha-melech nelech. Lo nita yaminu smo b'chesh bonenu v'hagodo mishka sheshgago sub svuros. Okay, that's what he ends up saying. I follow the Rambam no matter what, in my counting. But what's the svar for this? If there's a svar, what's the svar? La nachri tasha. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains, and I heard it from Rav Rosenzweig, the point is that ribis is something natural. Money makes money. If I lend you money, it's natural to take money for it. That's not evil, right, in a regular business sense. If you want money today, okay, so I'll give you $10, you give me back $12 tomorrow. What's the problem? You're doing something that you want today, and you're willing to do it. It's not like Ona'a or Gzela. So that's regular business activities. You know what the Torah says? For your own family, don't do that. For your family, you have a higher standard. So all Jews are a family. But what happens if you treat your non-family members the same way as your families? Then you undermine your special relationship that you have with your family. You're not giving your family anything unique then, anything special. Dafka l'nachri tashich, so that with your family members, the higher level of chesed, the unusual level of chesed is taken. The same thing, when we have this? We said the same exact thing, but the mitzvah say to collect loans from a non-Jew after Shemitah. Also, Mrs. Asay says the Rambam. Why? Why that as a nachri tigos? Exact part of the same thing. What do you mean? Just because I lend you money and Shemitah comes, I shouldn't get paid back $10 million? The answer is that's a very high level of chesed. That's unique for family members. And if we use it for non-family members, right now it's nothing. There's no bias. There's no bias. It's just that normal behavior used for everybody in the world, and for your own family, you'll have a higher level of behavior.
And it's obviously not
gzela. Oh, right. So if you take this approach, it's not gzela. Correct. Unless you say, because of the standard that you should have for your family, if you take it, it turns into a form of gzela. Something like that. But you're right. But naturally, according to this approach,
it's... never say it's a mitzvah to steal from the
right. Right. Not a mitzvah in the regular sense, like we said, but it's a... to machlokas, right? Gezalakum is a machlokas Rishonim, but we pass in as Aser. We pass in, at least it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. We pass in as Aser. Whether gezel taus, there's a different. Right, you get the wrong change back. Okay. Hopefully, we'll come back to ribis in a future day. Right. Well, obviously, you can't.
We pass.
I think so. We pass in that. It's that's Aser. For sure, regarding Chil Hashem aspects as well. So that is the issue of ribis. The Rishonim here discuss also, specifically here, the Raman, the Shiva Kubat says, well, it says that the child doesn't have to return the ribis of the father. What if the child collected the ribis himself? It was the father's loan, so what are we talking about here? That there was the father, the child, the Yarsha did. What if the child collected it? He paid back. Right? So the Raman, the Shiva Kubat says, it's also mutter. It's also mutter for him to keep it. Now, the question is it unclear exactly, could he go and collect it? But if it's given to him, so then, again, he did not make the arrangements of the sale, of the mechira, of the lending. So the Rama, in the Shidu B'Kemetzes here, says that even if the child would take it themselves, maybe there's an aveir of lifnei iver, because the person giving it, but... he might not have to give it back either, because it's not his loan. It's not his milveh. And if it's not his milveh, he might always be considered a third party, and he's just getting it, you're right, directly from the borrower, but it's really going through the father and coming to him be Yerusha.
Why doesn't the Gemara say that?
So that's the question, is how do you understand this? How do you understand that? It just says, what's the language of the Gemara? So it sounds like the father collected it, but that's the Ramah. The Ramah says it would say they would apply even if they would collect it. Okay. So we have two, Rabbi Brachama, on yesterday's Amud and Amud Beis, Rabbi Brachama learns his din of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah from our Mishnah. And here the Gemara just quoted that he could learn it from this Brisa about Ribbis. So Man Damasi La Brisa, we're going to go with our Girsa. Rashi quotes an opposite Girsa as well, but we're going to go with our Girsa. So Man Damasi La Brisa, the one who learns Rabbi Brachama from the Brisa, Koshkena Masisa, and he would also learn it from the Mishnah. Because there's no other way to interpret the Mishnah. Uman de Masi La Masisa, but the one who learned it from our Mishnah, Avla Brisa, Kurama Rechama, Kravis Masi La. But on the Brisa, maybe he wouldn't learn it from that because we just quoted Rava, who has a different interpretation. You don't have to say Rama Rechama from the Brisa, so therefore, there would be nothing forcing us to learn it from the Brisa. Period. Tanu Rabbanan. Other Brises, on the rest of the Yom, we just talk about children getting money from Gzela and what their responsibility is to the Nigzal. Again, if I steal money and I give it to my kids, I steal a hamburger and I feed it to my children, the children do not have to pay anything because the item is not there anymore and they didn't steal it. If the father left it in front of them, the item's there, gedolim chayavim l'shalei, gedolim have to pay back, the item, ketanim peturim l'shalei, Tanim do not have to. As we'll see, this is a shita of Sumchus. We'll get to the three lines on the bottom on this Amud. Sumchus' shita is that children are not responsible in obligations that they yarshin right now. Rashi quotes, Delav b'nei dina ninhu. Even right across from where we are. They're not b'nei din, children. V'av al pi de gzela kayemes. Even if the gzela is sitting right there, if it's only children that have it now, miyum mechasre guvaina. It cannot be collected like sumchis that ketanim are pater. Right, you have to wait until they get older, and then they would be able to get it back from them. But that is sumchis ashita. The brisa here is going like sumchis. V'im amru. So the brisa says that gedolim have to pay back, and the ketanim don't. V'im amru gedolim in anu yodim cheshbonos shechashav avinu imcha. And if the gedolim say we have no idea the cheshbonos that our father did with you, we don't know if he paid you back yet or not. Peturin then their pater too. Says the gemara, what? V'shum da amri ain anu yodim peturin. Because they say, oh, we're not sure if our father paid you back or not. They're putter? What do you mean? They have no raya. They have no proof. It was for sure stolen, and it was unclear whether it was paid back or not. So how could they say this to be putter? So I'm a rabba hachigam ka'amr. This is what it's meant. Gedolim sha'amru yodin anu cheshbono shachashav avinu imcha. If the older children say, no, we know for sure that our father already worked out payment with you, and you don't have anything here by us anymore, peturin. So then they're patur if they say for sure. Why? What's the svar for this? So look at Tosfos. Tosfos in Velo, he has 2 days. Number one, migu, maybe they could have said, the nigzal has no rai that it wasn't paid back yet, that it was not paid back yet, so migu, the children could have said, we returned it to you already, so they believe to say, our father arranged with you. Because there the Nigzal has no proof. Or B, Inami, the other day is, Tosva says, there are no Edig Zela. Not only are there no Eden that it was not paid back, there are no Edig Zela. So for Edig Zela, the only way that we know this is from the children, right? It's kind of like a Pesha Aser, a Pesha Hitter. They're the ones that admitted to the sale in the first place, the Hudaz Banim, to the Gzela, so we believe them that their father made arrangements. So this question, what's the machlokas between the two days? The Nigzal has no proof according to the second day.
So what's the
chiddush? Sorry?
What's the chiddush? It's his word against theirs.
Right, but now that they're saying, they believe that their father made arrangements. That's the interpretation of the Brisa. That's what it's adding on. That even though they're not talking about themselves, talking about their father's arrangements, they're still believed. Okay, interesting. What's the machlokas between the 2 days of Tosis? First one is a migu. The second one is also kind of a migu. But interesting to figure out what the difference between the two is. Okay. Tanya Idach, another brisa. Hagozul makalos bana b'dermi l'shalim. Again, if I steal and I give it to my kids, they're potter. Hiniach lefneim ba'achalum. If I gave it to them and then they consumed it, bein gedolim, bein ketanim chayavin. Even ketanim are chayiv. Not just gedolim, but also ketanim. Says the Gemara, ketanim. If the ketanim eat the gzela, they're chayiv. Mi mechayvi. Lo yehei ela da'azik azuke. What do you mean? The ketanim, they basically were just mazik. Right? They took the stolen item and they ate it, they would damaged it. And we learned earlier in Hachovel, in the Mishnah Daf Pezayin, that Ketan and Pegiyasan Ra, right? Don't start up with a Katan, because you got to have to pay them, and they don't have to pay you. So Pegiyasan Ra, and there's a Machlokas, Risoh, and the Rishonim, what about when the Katan gets older? Rashi, Lagos Hashri, versus the Rosh, and the Rambam. But either way, when they're Ketan, they for sure don't have to pay. So why here, when the Katan eats the stolen item, would he have to pay? So Amar Papa Haki Ka Amar. No, this is what the Brisa should read. How it should read. if the father left it in front of them and it's still there, then being Dilam Miktanam Chayavin. Then, whether Eve Gilam or Ketanam have to pay, and this is like the Rabbanan who argue with Sumchas. Rashi alludes to three lines to the bottom, who say that Ketanam, if it's still there, you're even allowed to do din with a cotton to get back your item. Period.
So our Mishnah is Sumchas.
So our Mishnah, our Mishnah doesn't mention Ketanam or Gdolam. Our Mishnah might just be Gdolam, and therefore doesn't Zoma Chalkas. Okay, Amar Rava. Once we're talking about children's obligations, so we leave a gzela for a minute. Amar Rava, hiniach lem aviem parashu'ula. What if their father borrowed a cow, their father died, so now the cow goes to the children. So, number one, mishtam shimbal koi me she'elasa. The children are allowed to use this borrowed cow. Even though they're not the shoalim, they step into the shoes of the father, they're allowed to use this borrowed cow all the days of the she'ela. Right, the Hagos Mordechai quotes here that maybe it's not dafka anyway, that we're usually, I'm not allowed to sub-shoel. Ein ha-shoel rashoel lahashil. But here, it's different because it's the son. So as an umta, the son is kind of brakar davua. It steps into the feet of the father, so that's why a son is allowed to use it. That is the umdana. And it says, kol yamei she'elasa. So what does that mean, kol yamei she'elasa? Whatever time was arranged. So the Nemuka Yosef here quotes the Ritva on Daf Lama Tesla and Aleph and Daf Yerif. So he says, v'hainu kishakava bazman. Right, if there's a set time, then it can be used all for the zman of the she'ela. Ava lo kava bazman. What if there's no zman that was set with the father? He just borrowed it stam. So then, mishtamshim ba'azman hara'ui lafi oso tashmish shesha'ala. Whatever is normally used with this item. V'lo amar baha stam she'ela shloshim yom. We don't have a principle that stam she'ela is 30 days. Shelo amru ela b'milvesh and itna lahotza. When do you say, usually, when you lend something, when do you say it's automatically 30 days? Maybe by Naziris, but also maybe by a milveh, when you lend money for a month. But by she'ela, every item, whatever you borrow, there's different times. Less, it could be less, it could be more. If you lend a can opener, it's going to be less time than if you lend a plow. You know, if you lend a book. You know, all these things are have difference. The Ritva says, if there's no set time, then it's whatever is normally done. Mesa. There is just one more. There is a tremendous chiddush that the Ravid quotes and argues on. The Ravid here says that this is only... Oh, let's go to the next line. I'm sorry, it's on the next line. Mesa ein chayavin ba'onse. So the children have the right to use it, but if the animal dies, so then they don't have a chayav onse. Unlike a regular shoel. A regular shoel could use it, and he has a chayav onse. They go together. But these, like the father. But the children have the benefit without the responsibility. They're allowed to use it, and if it dies, they are not chayav in onse. The rush here says, Beferish, this is only if the mashil didn't come back to them and make new arrangements. The mashil comes to them and says, you know what, your father borrowed this, but, you know, now you're responsible. The mashil made specific arrangements for them now, then they are responsible. Say the Achronim, what does that show? That the chiv onsin of a shoel is not a pure gzeiras hakasav, it's an umdana. It's an umdana, it's an understanding that if you're going to use something, so then you should be, I want you to be responsible for it. So if the mashal comes and makes that arrangement again with the children, so then they say, based on this rush on our Gemara, that it should work as well. The Ravid here, this is where the Chiddush I was going to mention, say, the only time they're not chayiv in onsin is if they didn't use it yet. But once they used it, they're just like the father, and they're chayiv in onsin. And the Ravid says, that's not the pashas of the Gemara, though. The pashas of the Gemara sounds like there's a Chiddush, there's a difference between the father and the children. So you should just know that Shita of the Ravid, maybe that Deya in the Ravid cannot fathom a Shoel being able to use it and not being responsible. So that's why he has that Chiddush interpretation.
That's still a difference.
Sorry?
When the father borrows it,
right,
even if he didn't start using it and another mess happens, it's not.
But there's still a difference, right? If the father is automatic before he even uses it from the Zman She'ela.
Right.
The Pashas is like the Rov Rishonim.
What is the Svara for?
What's the svara? The children never accepted responsibility. They got this Yerusha, it's like a windfall. But Rashi quotes, they never accepted responsibility. Right?
I
step into my father's shoes regarding assets.
But you're not.
What? Next line, Kisvurim Shalaviyemhi. But let's say they think it was the father's cow. They didn't even know it was borrowed. Vitavchuhu va'achluhu. And they shechted it, and they ate it. So then, Mishalmid Bebasa Bezal, they have to pay two-thirds. 2/3. Rashi explains the Vesem Azol, 2/3. Right. Say, but this is the they have to pay 2/3. But if they thought it was borrowed, they knew it was borrowed. So Rashi quotes, the reason is that they never accepted. Lo kabilu alehi netirusa. They never accepted guarding. When they get Yerusha, that's all good for them. That's not responsibilities for them.
They made a mistake.
But yeah, they made a mistake, and therefore they have to pay for it. Interesting, Tosfos and the Ramban, that we mentioned a few times already, back on Daf Chav Zayin, remember the Machlokes, Tosfos holds, Adam Mu'ed La'olam has a limit by Onis Gamur, while the Ramban says, no, even by Onis Gamur is Chayiv. So this is another one of the Gemaras that they work out. Why do you only have to pay 2/3? Adam Mu'ed La'olam. Right, so Tosfos says, this is another example for me. Another example that by Onis Gamur, they thought it was their father, it was Onis Gamur, you only have to pay 2/3. You don't have to pay full. The Ramban, what would the Ramban say about this Gemara? He says even Onis Gamur is Chayiv. He would have to say that this is not called Mazik. I'm going to explain, because here it's like it's even worse. It's like a Misasik. They thought it was their father's. They didn't like damage something by Onis. They thought it was their father's. So it's even worse than Onis Gamur, and therefore they would be not have to pay everything. Hiniyach, but last line of the Brisa. What did the Brisa say so far? They have a borrowed cow. They could use it. And if it dies, they're not chayiv. But if they thought it was their father's, they have to pay 2/3. Hiniyach lehem avim achrayas nechasim. If their father left them achrayas nechasim, left them land, chayiv l'shalim, then they have to pay. Ika the masli la'areshav, ika the masli la'seifa. What is this last line going on? That if the father left them the land, they have to pay. Manda masli la'areshav. Some say it's going on the resha. Meaning, if they use it, they know it's borrowed, and if they use it, they're pater from onsen. But if the father left them that land, then they're chayiv in onsen. They have to use their father's property to pay for onsen. So if you say the last line of the Brisa is going on that, then kol shekein ha-seifa, it surely would go on the seifa where they themselves acted improperly. They shechted it, upligad Rav Papa. Then this statement of Rav would argue on Rav Papa, who we're going to have later on. Rav Papa holds that the chayiv onsen of a shoel only starts mishas ha-ones. Right, so that would be this Brisa then would be arguing on Rav Papa, because this would be saying that the Yerushin would be chayiv in onsen with the father's property. Madamatzi la seifa, but some learn this last line on the seifa, meaning if the father left them property, so then if they shechted it, thinking it was their father's, they would have to pay. Avala reisha lo, but they would still agree pater. Even if the father left them land, they would be pater in the reisha where they knew it was borrowed. If the animal just died. And that would be like Rav Papa, because once the ones occurred, it only happened later, and they never accepted responsibility. Where's Rav Papa? The following. Let's say I stole an animal before Shabbos, and then I shechted it on Shabbos. Chayiv, I'm chayiv for the kefil and dalav hay. Why? This is going like the opinion that, let's read the first line, Shekfar chayiv b'gneiv kodem shiavo l'deyesur Shabbos. I'm chayiv the keren from before Shabbos, and this is a sheet in the Tanoim, which we had in Ksubis, that knas is not limited by kimle b'drav minei, only regular mamon. But knas you pay even if there's a chiyav misa. That's what this sheet is going like. So therefore, kefal and dalva hay are knasos, and you'd be chayiv in that case. But haisa parah she'ula lo v'tavcha b'Shabbos. If the parah is borrowed to me, and then I shechted it on Shabbos, pater, then I'm pater. Because when does my keren obligation kick in? Only on Shabbos. She'is to Shabbos. She'is to Geneva, Bon Ke'echad. Everything comes together. Meaning, Rav Papa holds, the chiyav of onsin by Yeshua starts Mishas She'ela. That is Rav Papa's Shita. And therefore, in the previous Brisa, if I say that the children are ever chayav for an ones, that would be arguing on Rav Papa. So only if you say it's going on the last line is going on the Seifa, would we be able to mesh Rava and Rav Papa together, that they both hold the chiyav onsin is only later by a Shoel. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, back to our cases of Gzela. We got off of She'ela for a little bit. Now we're back to Gzela. We had a little discussion of Kimlei, but now we continue. Tanur Rabbanan. V'heshev v'segel asher gazal. You have to return the Gzela that you stole. Ma tamalom asher gazal. Yachzir ke'en she'gazal. What does that mean, asher gazal? You have to return ke'en she'gazal, as you stole. And the Tosas Rid says he likes a little different girsa, which is going to fit in better to the line. Not ke'en she'gazal, ella mimi she'gazal. Right? V'heshev v'segel asher gazal, mimi she'gazal. That's the brisa the Tosas Rid said, the girsa the Tosas Rid suggests. Mikan amru, from this pasuk you say, Hagoz b'lachal is b'anah, p'turim milashalim. If you give it to your children, they don't have to pay. Hiniach lefein be'gilam miktanam chayavin. If you left it there and it's still sitting there, chayavin, then they have to pay even if they're ktanim. This was the chachamim we mentioned earlier. Mishum sumchis amru, gedolim chayavin, ktanim p'turim. Sumchis says, no, gedolim have to pay, but ktanim do not have to pay, because ktanim are lav b'nei dininhu, and they don't have to pay. That is the shita of sumchis. And we said before, there are two brises on this amud, one like the chachamim, one like sumchis. Bar Chamua, Rabbi Yirmiyah, story time. Rachamud Rabbi Yirmiya Tarak Gali Ba'apei Rabbi Yirmiya. The son of the father-in-law of Rabbi Yirmiya, meaning his wife's brother, right? His father-in-law died, and now Rabbi Yirmiya was trying to walk into the house in order to be machzik the house. And the young child, Rashi quotes here, he was a katan, closed the door, didn't let him in. Gali ba'apei de Rabbi Yirmiya. So also the kind of Rabbi Avin, so Rabbi Yirmiya didn't want to get physically involved with this child. So he went in front of Rabbi Avin. Amar, Rabbi Avin says, tough, shalom toveya. No, he's protecting his own property. Amar lei, b'hamaisina sadi d'achzeki b'chayavua. What do you mean? But I could bring witnesses that I was already machzik in this house. You know, my father-in-law gave it to me. Right? I was already machzik in this b'chayavua, meaning I could bring, edim of chesed gemoshanim. I was already machzik in this house, right? And look at the bottom, Rashi. And he's claiming that he sold it to me. He gave it to me. So Amar Leis says Rabbi Avin back to him. So what? So I bring witnesses that is yours. We're not going to accept them. Why? Because the Baldin is not here. Why isn't the Baldin here? Because the Katan is not a Baldin. Katan is Kamisha Eino, Rashi says on top. It's Kamanda Lasadami. There's no baldin here, so you can't bring edim right now. So Gemara says, "Velo, you can't bring witnesses when a katan's involved." V'ha ktani being dolim b'ktanim chayav v'chayavin. Didn't the chachamim just say that even by ktanim, if there's a chayfas hagazel that a katan has, you're allowed to take it from him according to the chachamim? So Amalei Rabbi Avin says, "Hari machlokes sumchus besidach. What about sumchus? Sumchus that you cannot take it from a katan." So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya says, "Ichbo kuliyama v'koyke sumchus. What, the whole world has to bow down in front of sumchus? Lafkuin ledidi to take it away from me." What do you mean, sumchis? What about the Rabbanon? Sumchis. So, Adahafi, meanwhile, so they were at a stalemate. The Gemara does not say what the answer is. The Rabbi Avin says, what are you forcing to be like sumchis? The Rishonim, though, discuss, though, there are some other Mishnayas that seem like sumchis. So, forget sumchis, it's like a Stam Mishnah. But either way, Adahafi, Igagil Mosa, the thing continued. Also, Mazakam Derbi Yabi Avahu, they came in front of Rabbi Avahu. Amar lo shami l'chadr of Yosef Parchama or Boshia. What do you mean? There's another statement that bears light on your case. The Amar of Yosef Par Abba Amar of Yosia, Tinok should talk of Ba'abadav. V'yar l'tov sadesh al-chaveiro. Let's say a child takes his servants, right? His servants. Rashi says on top, Shaloka chavadav imo sheisayu. Right? He says, let's go, gang. So a 10-year-old boy takes all of his servants. He goes to his friend's field. V'amar shalihu. And he says, this is my field. My field. So in Omrim Nantama Shiyagdil, we don't say, okay, let him stay there until he gets older, then we'll do a din with him. No. Elamotsi and Miyad Miyad. We take it away from him right away. Ulakashiyagdil, when the child gets older, Yavi Edim Benira, then the child can bring his own Edim and we'll see. But we do a din even by a katan. So says Rabbi Avahu. So you see, we do dinim with a katan. So he says back to Rabbi Avin, so why don't you let Rabbi Yirmiya have this house? Right? Even with a katan. If he could bring witnesses that he was machzegit b'chayi aviv, he should give it to him. So Gemara, Rabbi Avin answers, no, me dummy. You cannot compare the case where Rabbi Yirmiya is trying to get into this house with this case of the katan. Hasam hu demachkinan mina. Over there, Rabbi Yirmiya is trying to get into the house which the child is machzik in. Delo kaimule acheskasa de'avua. I'm sorry. Over there, in the case of the tinok that brought his servants into the field, there we take it away from the katan, because the katan is the motzi. He went into this field that he had no prior connection to, and he started saying it's his. But where there is no chazaka davua, so then we wouldn't. Where there is a chazaka davua, so we'll let him keep it unless we prove otherwise. So in the case of Rabbi Yirmiya, he was trying to get into the house that the child's father lived in. So therefore, we would say there you got to wait until the child gets older. Period. Good. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Shabtoi. So Rav Ashi is the name of Shabtoi. That's an interesting name. Shabtai. Right, so if you look in the Beis Shmuel in Hilchas Gittin, quotes, if you ever have to know how to support for a Masada Kedusha to know, the Masada Kedusha, every name there is listed, where it came from and how do you spell it. So it's called Shemos HaAnashim. It's like 6 pages. In the big Shulchan Aruch, it's pages. Shemos HaAnashim says that it goes through every letter of the Aleph. So there, so under Shin, it says Shabsi, Shabtai. So he says that Shabtai is a Shem Yehudi. Says the Beis Shmuel, and how do you know it's a Shem Yehudi? But Bakama Kufyud Beis, right? That's how you know it's a Shem Yehudi right here, because it says Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Shabtai. That's how you know. So what about Shabtai? Maybe it got a bad rap because of the person it was associated with. But Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Shabtai. But Kabbalim Eidim Shlo B'fnei Baldin. So we're Makabel witnesses Shlo B'fnei Baldin. even without a baal, not in front of a baal din. Tahiba, Rabbi Yochanan wonders about it. Interesting. Tahiba. So if you remember, we had a Tosfos in Ksubas Daf Beis Mabeis. Tosfos in Ksubas there says that the Gemara has different lashonos by various Amorayim. The Gemara says, Megadif ba Rabbi Avahu, Layit Allah Abaya, Tahi ba Rabbi Yochanan. Right? So it quotes our Gemara, but we come to Kufiyat Beis. Ksubas Beis Mabeis. So there's different lashonos of degrees. We're Medayik, like Megadif. That's a very strong lashon. But these are the Layit Allah Abaya. These are different lashonos that were used by Amorayim. So Rabbi Yochanan wondered, Tahi ba Rabbi Yochanan. Is that true? You accept witnesses not in front of the Baal Din? Right? That's not true. And the Rishinu Kabetzas here quotes, what's the svara for that? Because witnesses would be less wont to lie in front of the Baal Din. Right? That's why you're not Makabal Edim except in front of the person they're testifying against, because they're not going to lie like this, like we had on the Daf on Yontif, which we didn't get to talk about, right? The whole svara Modi B'Mixas and Kofar Bakol, they're not going to lie Migud Ha'aza. Not going to lie in front of somebody who knows that they're telling the truth. So that's why there's a Rashba that says no, it's a Gzeiras HaKasuf. It's not just because of Stam Chashash Sheker. And the Nesibis holds like the Rashba. What's this? What's the greatest Raya? What's the greatest Raya that were the din of in Mekalim Edim El B'Fnei Baal Din is not a Svara that they're not going to, you don't want them to lie, but it's a Gzeiras HaKasuf? Because if you're judging an ox, the ox has to be there, says the Nesibis. Why does the ox have to be there? Because you're not going to lie in front of the ox, right? So that's why it says the nesivas zimun chavches is obviously gzeiras hakasuf. You know, you might say, like we've said otherwise, no. Kmisas abayam kachmisas ashar. Even if it is a svara, the ox is held to the same dinim. Either way, but that's the issue about this din. Svara gzeiras hakasuf. Kivlim in Eder Biyosi Bechanin. Rabbi Yosef Chanin says, what do we say? Rav Ashi says, you accept Edim even not in front of the Baal Din. Rabbi Yochanan said, is that true? So Rabbi Yosef Chanin says, no, this is what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about. Kigon Shahayahu Chola O Edev Cholim O Shahayu Edim Avashim Lelech Midas Hayam. It's a case of Shas Atchak, meaning he or the witnesses are sick, they're going to die, or the Edim are leaving. So in that case, we allow you to rush and have the Edim, and just the Shulchulo, and send to the Nigzal, send it to the Nitva, you know, come right now, we got to take these witnesses today. And if he doesn't come, below by, he doesn't come, then there's no choice. So there's a Shas Atchak to accept the Edim Shlomo Fei, then we do that, right? Because there's no other choice. No other choice. And the Tosfos emphasizes, you got to do both. It's got to be a Shas Atchak, and you have to send to him, and he has to not come. You need both of those. Amr of Yudamar Shmuel, Mikablan Edim, Shlobifne Baldin. You do accept witnesses, not in front of the Baldin. Amr, my Ukbaladi, Mifshlamine Shmuel. When does that apply? Kagon de Paschule Bedine. If you already had the opening of the din, meaning everybody tested, you had the Kabbalah's Edis from both sides, and now you're just having more details of the discussion. So that's where we say you could do it. And then you sent to him by the second stage of the din, and he doesn't come. But if he didn't start the din yet, then Matzi Amarle, the one who's not there, could say, "Another bezdin, I'll go to Azilna." No, I don't want to come to this bezdin. I want to go to the greater bezdin. So then you would say, "Ein makavon edim shelo b'fnei baal din." So the big discussion: does this apply only to the nitva or even to the toveya? That's Tosfos and Dibur Maskel Matzi. The Bahag says the nitva could say, "No. I want to go somewhere else." Could the toveya also? So that's a question in the Tosfos here, whether it's both or one or the other. Ihachi, says the Gemara. So what did we just say? That you're allowed to accept Edim, Shalom B'fnei Baal Din, once you started the Din, but not at the beginning. So Ihachi, Paschal Edami, Maser Amalei LeBezdin, Kagado Azilna. Why can't, even if he started the Din, why can't he say, no, I want to go to a greater Bezdin? Amar Avinikon, Denaka Diska, Mi Bezdin Agado. No, because Bezdin Agado already sent a message in this case that, you know, judge in this case. Go to the lower court. Right? It's like the Supreme Court saying, no, you have to go to the lower court. Maybe we'll deal with it afterwards, but right now you have to go to the lower court. Amar Rav. So once we're talking about Shlo B'fnei Baal Din, we quote a parallel halacha. Mekayim Netz Ashtar, Shlo B'fnei Baal Din. Kiyum Shtaris is a Din D'Rabbanan. What does that mean? It means whenever there's a star that's signed, Mi D'Rabbanan, you have to verify those signatures. Either the people who signed have to come and say, these are our signatures, or you have to have two other people that come and say, these are so-and-so signatures, or you have to have another star that's already Mekuyam, that the signatures are the same. Those are three ways of Kiyum Shtaris. So, says Rav, you could be mekayim the shtar even if the Baal Din is not there. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, in mekayim the shtar shalom b'fnei Baal Din, you can't. Amalei Rav Sheshi Ravat Yosi Bar Rabbi Avo, as b'lochatayim with Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say you need the Baal Din there? Amar Kra v'huad b'vala v'lo yishmerenu. How does a shtar become a shtar muad? He has to be warned in front of the owner, and he does not guard it. Amar Torah Yavo b'al shtar v'yamal shoru. The owner has to stand there by his ox, so to hear the one who's going to pay the money. Has to come and be there when he is going to be mechuyev. Just like a shar muad, you're being mechayev him. So too, when you mechayev a shtar, you're being mechayev him, and therefore he has to be there. Amar Rava, hilchas of mechayev as a shar shlo b'fnei baldin. Rava says the halacha is you can do it even if the baldin is not there. Via filu omid v'tzaveach, even if he's screaming, don't be mechayev the shtar. I'm going to bring witnesses that this shtar is false. Don't do it. Don't do it. Doesn't matter. You mechayev the shtar, and then he can bring the witnesses afterwards and undo it. The Amar Nakituli Zimna de Mycena Sadi, if he says, wait a minute, give me a month, give me a week that I can bring witnesses, so Marana the Star, and then I'll prove that the Star is false. Naktina lay, so then fine, you give him whatever time he asks for it. He wants a week, he wants a month, fine. Iasa asa, and if he brings witnesses, fine. Ilo asa, and if not, Natrina lay, and now he's just refusing to pay his loan. Natrina lay Bahab, so after the time you wait, a Monday, Thursday, Monday, saying he has to come to the Beis Din, Ilawasa, and then once he doesn't come to the Beis Din, Kasinam Psicha Ilavetishin Yomin. You write a 90-day document on in a Star Shamta, right? You put him, you excommunicate him basically for 90 days because he didn't repay his loan. Tzlasim Kamai Lo Nachtin Lo Nechsei. The first 30 days, you don't go down to his property to take, because Damar, you say, Katarach Pazuzi Venezav. He's probably looking to borrow money, he's going to pay back. Mitzio, it's already too late, he already refused to pay, that's why you can excommunicate him. But you're not going to take away his land in the first 30 days. The next 30 also you don't take away his possessions. Because you say, maybe he couldn't find anybody to lend money from. He's probably selling one of his assets to get money. The last 30 also don't go to take his nechasim. He probably sold something, and now the buyer is looking for money to pay him with. Below Asa, after these 90 days, if it doesn't come, then Kasfina Adrachta Nechse. Then you write an Adrachta, which is a document which says that the borrower, the lender, could go down and seize property of the Mechuyev. Period. Vahani Mili Damar Asina, but all this only applies if he says, I'm going to bring witnesses. Aval Amar Lo Asina, but if he says right away, I'm not paying, then La'alter Kasfina. Then you go right away. You write it right away, because there's no excuses to extend the time. This is all by a milveh that you have extensions. But by a pikadon where you have my object, so why don't you give me my object right away if you deny it? So again, you write it right away that he could go to his possessions. And also, you only write it when it comes to karka. But you don't write it if the person is trying to collect his movable item. Why? I'm sorry. You only write an adrachta that I could go and collect your property from karka. Aval metalsli lo, but when it's movable items, you're not allowed to take my movable items. Why? Dilma shalmet ve'ochelu malve lemetalsli. Maybe the malve is going to come seize my property and use it, and then I'm going to bring proof that he was wrong. V'chiyasi lo ve'maisi sadi amar le'dishdara lo mishkach v'di le'migivah, and I won't be able to collect it. So you're only allowed to seize land. V'islei mimikarkoi lemalve kasvinan, and as long as he has karka, there is kalka to the malve, then he can write it, because if he sees his property, so then he'll be able to collect property back. One more line, below he, and really we don't say it, that's not true. Adrachta matatuli lo kasvinan. I'm sorry, because the previous line, I didn't emphasize, if the malve has karka, you could write an adrachta even on matatulin, because he'll have karka to pay back. But we don't pass in that way. Below he. Adrachta matatuli lo kasvinan, we never write an adrachta for movable items, avagav de islay mikarkoi, even if the malva has karka, and you would say that the lova would be able to get paid back, chayshin shematachsif, maybe the property is going to go down in value. Period. We're in the middle here, but no place to stop right here, so we'll stop here. We'll continue with halachas of shamta and adrachta, Bez Hashem, tomorrow, and getting in tomorrow also with Dina de Machusa Dina. Dina de Machusa Dina comes out tomorrow. The last time we discussed that was back in Meseches Nedarim. Mechuzadina comes up, and also B'makam Sheishchil Hashem, Gnevas and Gzilas Akum comes up tomorrow. This is Walter, so be back.